Amen. Amen. All right. I told you we had a special speaker this morning, and we do. I was not just pulling your leg. And we have one of our own. Miss Katie Sloan's going to come up here with us this morning, and she's going to share God's word with us. Give her your full attention, and if you'll shout an amen a couple times, three times, four times?
Like a bunch of times.
A bunch of times. She would appreciate that. Welcome her and give her your full attention.
All right. All right, so like Pastor said, I've been here for a really long time. My family's been here for about, I've been here for 22 years. And so we've been here for a while. And I just want to make this clear that even though my dad's Paul, don't keep that against me. Look it up. But seriously, like, when I was preparing for this, and even just different parts of my life, I just really want you guys to know how much I appreciate the Trinity community as a whole. A lot of the times throughout my life, like, whenever I've needed anything, like, I mean, you guys have been there for me, which is sweet. and this week, I just thank you guys for praying for me and doing, just being there for me, and I really feel the presence of God, which is an awesome thing when you're preaching, you know? So, like I said, I've been here for a long time, and one of the best experiences that I had was when I was in high school. I was able to be a part of the worship band in TSM, and and it was great. It was good stuff. Some of those people are still my best friends, and we had to do these retreats every year. And so right before the year would start, we'd do these, like, team-building things, and we would do these things. And my junior year, I think, was when Matt Hancock, the pastor used to be here, or the youth pastor used to be here, he came in, and he had us do these trust exercises. And for any of you who have not been blessed with the trust fall exercise, it is the most terrifying thing you'll ever experience in your life. What happens is that you stand here, and then you have someone behind you, and then basically you, like, trust them with your life, and they either catch you or they don't, but hopefully they catch you, because that would be bad. So we did that exercise, and I think Candace is probably my partner, and so she caught me and I caught her, because we're still here, so that's good. Like, we caught each other, and so I was like, all right, good, that's over, we can do the next exercise. But no, we did the next step in the trust exercise, which was instead of one person being in charge of your life, there's now two people in charge of your life. So the two people are standing there, and they have their arms like this, like, connected to each other, and then you fall. And I mean, the three of us, I don't remember who the other person was, but three of us are still here, so, I mean, that went well. And so I was like, all right, that's good. And so I was like, sweet, we don't have to do this anymore. And then the next one came, and it was the extreme trust fall. And this was, not only was there one person, not two, but the entire group was there to catch you. And so what would happen is you'd probably be right here. We, like, stood on, if you've been in the refuge, there's a snack shack, and we kind of stood on there, and everyone would have their arms out. And so you'd, like, fall, and people would catch you. And I was like, I mean, I trust the people in this group, but I also trust the fact that they would think it was funny if I fell. And so I kind of didn't have this trust that I should have. And so as people were doing it and people were fine, and I was like, maybe I won't have to do this. Maybe I won't have to, like, worry about anything. I could just, like, slide under the radar. And so the last person goes, and then I still haven't gone, but we move on to the next exercise. And I was like, yes. Like, good stuff. And of course, there's that one person in the youth group. And they just look at me and go, wait, Katie hasn't gone yet. And I was like, darn it. And so I went up there after, like, 3 minutes of complaining and just being stressed out. I finally did it. It was even funny because as I was walking up, I was, like, throwing pillows underneath just in case they didn't catch me, you know. And I got up there, and then I think it was Matt just, like, pulled the pillows out. And I was just like, oh, man, now I'm really in trouble. And so I fell. It was fine. Things were great. I'm still here, so that's good. And, yeah, it was great. And after I was done, I really questioned why I had trust issues in the beginning. These people that had proven themselves over and over again that they were going to be there for me, I didn't trust that in this moment they were going to be there for me. And I felt foolish after because I looked back and I was like, I had nothing to worry about. In a lot of ways, I think that's how our relationship with God is sometimes. Where things happen in our lives and God comes through and it's super exciting. And we're like, yes, like praise God that he did this. And then something else comes up and then we wonder, like, God, where are you? You know, like even though you've come through in the past, like what, why aren't you here now? And so as I was preparing this message, I knew the message I wanted to, and God just totally like threw this passage in my lap. And so if you could turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. The story that I'm going to be focusing on is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And as you're turning there, just a heads up for people who haven't heard the story before. What happens is that there's this king and he's super like into himself. Like he has this 60-foot statue made of himself, or made, like an idol made of gold that everyone's supposed to worship. And he gets really angry really fast. And he's one of those like typical kings that you think where they're like off with his head and stuff. So, and then there's these three guys and they're Jews and they're, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And basically, through a relationship they had before, Nebuchadnezzar really trusts these guys. He really puts them in charge of a lot, in charge of Babylon and all these things. And so people are supposed to be bowing down to this idol whenever this music is playing. And after a while, people start noticing that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't bowing down to this idol. And so that's where the passage starts off. And so I'm going to start in verse 9. And the way that I'm going to do this is I'm actually going to walk through the story. And so we're kind of like with them in the story. And so, Daniel 3, verse 9. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your God nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve the God or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" And this is really good because before, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego weren't bowing down to the idol, it really didn't make that big a difference. People saw it, but then they kind of like, okay, whatever. But then now they're in front of the king, and this king has the ability to basically say if they live or die. And so this is when their integrity really starts coming out, because not only are they just not bowing down, but they're putting their lives in danger just because they're not going to worship this. And the next part is probably my favorite of all of the parts, just because it's their response. And their response is, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, 'King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand.'" And I'm going to stop right there, because this is great. Like, they're super, like, they're saying, like, our God is better than you, and he's going to come through no matter what. But then the next sentence takes it a step further. Not only are they stepping out and being like, God's going to do something, but they say the next phrase, which is, "But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and worship the image of gold you have set up." Which takes it to a whole new level, because not only is it that they're saying, like, God's going to come through, they're like, even if he doesn't, like, our God's bigger than yours, and he has a bigger plan, and that's just what's going to happen. And whether we live or die, we're going to let you know that our God's real. And so, obviously, the next part, this is when things really heat up. Yeah. I get that from my dad, so. So then the next part says, then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's commands were so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. And this part is interesting because not only were they just thrown into the furnace, but they were bound. The furnace was heated up hotter than anything else. And then their clothes were all on. And back then, their clothes were obviously super organic, and so they'd just be enveloped into flames once it hit. So Nebuchadnezzar did everything in his power to make sure that these 3 died in the fire, which makes the next part even better, just because instead of them dying, what God does next, just because that he tried everything in his power to kill them, it makes what God does even better. And so the next part is, then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men that were tied up and threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of God's. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came up out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor the hair on their hair singed. Their robes were not scorched, and they had no smell of fire on them. And this is the coolest part, because God came through in a huge way, and they walked out, and I go to school in Indiana, and so what happens is that we don't have smoke banned in places. So you walk into a place, and instantly you smell like smoke. And these guys were in the furnace for probably an hour or so, and they walked out, and they didn't even smell like fire because God was with them, and God just did this incredible thing. And the next part is so cool because not only Nebuchadnezzar had been the antagonist the entire time in the story, and he was the one that was basically against them and was doing everything in his power to just make them suffer and make them die. And in the end, he ends up being the one who kind of declares the moral of the story, if you want to say that. And so it says, then Nebuchadnezzar said, praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve and worship any god except for their own. And so it's just so cool because they trusted God in this huge, powerful way, and God came through in a major way. And so what I love about this is what I just said. And the great thing is that the God that they served is the same God that we serve today. It's so cool because God is able to come through whenever that we need him to, or whenever we want him to, or whenever his timing is. And God desires for us to trust him. The same God that saved them from the fire is the one that desires to have a relationship with us, and who desires for us to trust him no matter what. And so this is actually kind of funny because the point where I am, God really was teaching me about trusting him through this message, because I'm going to be graduating college, actually. And sorry for anyone I made you feel old just then. But pretty much I'm graduating college, and there's a whole new step in life that I'm going to be taking. And there's a lot of unknowns, but I know for a fact that God, if I just trust God, he's going to come through in a major way, which is really exciting. And since God gave me this message, I know that for a fact that God's doing something here, and God wants you guys to trust him. And I don't know what it is. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be small. But I just pray that you guys would, I pray that you guys would trust God, because he deserves to be trusted. And so, actually, there was a song that we sang in chapel on Friday, and I wish I had known about it before, because then I would have the band play it, but there's a part in it that says, "Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders." And as the band comes up, I'd really like to encourage you guys that to trust God and to really let the Spirit lead you where your trust is without borders. It doesn't matter like where God wants to take you, but just trust him. And one thing that I've done this week, and especially as I prepare for this message, just every time just something comes up, I just say, like, God, I trust you in this. If there's like a test coming up, like, God, I trust you in this. As I'm figuring out my future, I just say, like, God, I trust you in this. And so as I finish up, I just like to lead you guys in prayer that, so, yeah, if you guys could bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for who you are. And I just pray that you would just make yourself known to us and continue to be with us. And that when we're struggling to figure things out, that we would trust you. And that we would, that you would let your Spirit lead us where our trust is without borders. And I just thank you for this morning. And I just thank you for what you've just been doing, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Now, our pastor Steve, is he here somewhere?
Yeah.
There he is. Come on up here. He's been through quite a bit this past week, and I know it's the end of the service here, but we need to hear from him and just kind of see. God's able, right?
Able. Oh, my word. And I'll tell you what, you know, being in Haiti this past week, it makes me appreciate my church. Because I can tell you that I've felt prayer. I've felt God's hand, and I know that he's got incredible things for us as a community here. And the work that we can do here locally and the impact that we can have here in Naperville and Aurora and Warrenville and Wheaton and just all the areas. But I know that he's got a plan for us to reach a community in Haiti. And I just want to tell you one quick announcement. I know I say that each week, but I swear it's going to be quick. First of all, Katie, you did a fabulous job. I love Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego's story, because it's really that message that is the antithesis of people in Haiti's story. But they're living out a different part of that story. They're living out the part that says, but even if he doesn't, but even if he doesn't. And there's so much oppression in that country, and there's so much that they could be sorrowful of. There's so much they could experience and feeling hurt and abandoned. But they are worshiping God, and they are believing God to do big things. And so I just want to share that with you. And then just one quick thing that I want to share with you that I just thought is absolutely amazing. You can sit real quick. Yeah. I said it again. Everybody was thinking we had a better chance standing up. There's two churches that were represented in Na Cafe, which is where the school was built. And in those two churches, just about a week ago, 2 weeks ago, the two pastors were literally fighting with one another. They were at each other's throat, and they were really upset over how they were practicing their worship. And they were it just was amazing. And so Malcolm sat down with them, and he opened up the Word. And he shared with them that the way that they were acting wasn't biblical. And John Govender taught Malcolm, the time that he was here, that Malcolm, whenever you take on any type of adversity, you open up God's word because nobody can refute it. And these two pastors listened to Malcolm share God's word with them. And they decided that it was silly that there was two churches in this one community. So they've joined churches together. And now there's one church. Amen. There's one church with two pastors, which is something that just in that area of Haiti is just unheard of. I got to witness yesterday these two pastors coming together, and they were dancing. They were worshiping, and they were literally, when I say dancing, they were holding each other's arms. And Malcolm was standing there with tears in his eyes because he watched how God answered his prayer that these two men would be joined together for the common good of what God wants to do in that community. So now here's the amazing thing. Because they believe in Malcolm so much and they are so thankful for his ministry, they went to him and they said, "We need to have a name for our new church." So they said, "Malcolm, what is the name of the church that you come from?" And he said, "Trinity Church of the Nazarene." And they said, "So then we will name this church Trinity Church." And so there is a church in Haiti that bears our name because of our work, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Amen? And now, we do have a long way to go before the "of the Nazarene" part gets filled in. But they are officially calling themselves the Trinity Church. And just that name alone in Haiti is going to have such a major impact. Because there are spirits that are already on that island, but they're not of God. And both of those pastors feel a strong call to fight against the voodoo spirits that many of their people are being oppressed from. So I will next week have a lot more to share with you and to show you. And I definitely don't want to supersede the message that Katie brought to us this morning, because I think there is a mending of the two stories here. Because for many of you this morning, you too are at a place where you might feel like you're either in the furnace or you're about to be thrown in the furnace. Or you're watching people that are trying to throw you in the furnace. You know, I mean, we're all there. And my heart, and I know Katie's heart for you, is to be able to pray the prayer that even if he doesn't, when he, you know, God shows up on time every time. The person that doesn't show up on time is us. We're the ones that are always late for the party. And even in my reading this past week, I remembered this great quote that said, that said, "You didn't find God because God was never lost. God always finds us. We're the ones that are lost." And so we have to unite our hearts together and realize that when people are dealing with things, when you're seeing somebody that's in bondage and they're being thrown in the furnace, or they look like they're in the furnace, you can go and reach in with them and say, "I've been there before, and I want to help you. I want to lean on you. I want you to experience this freedom that can only come through Christ Jesus." And just being diligent in our prayers. So I just wanted to tell you this morning that God has got an amazing vision for this church. And the coolest thing for me is I was sitting there with Kaylee and Peyton. I came in and I sat down. And I honestly didn't feel like the senior pastor of this church. I felt like I was a part of the congregation. And I honestly have to tell you that if I wasn't the senior pastor of this church, I would worship here. Because this feeds my soul. And what you all bring with you and the energy and the fact that Katie was able to stand up here and say, you know, it's a lot easier to preach when you feel God's presence. You know, we invite God's presence into this place every Sunday. And my hope and my prayer for you is that you will come. And if there is anything that we can learn from the Haitian people, it's how to openly worship. Because they're going back to their hovels. They're going back to their dilapidated homes. They're going back to nothing. Yet when they stand before the King, they dance and they sing and they worship. And it's amazing. It is absolutely, it's amazing. And it's something that you can never forget. And so just putting all of this into perspective, I told you this is quick. Putting all this into perspective, our God is still on the throne. He is still on the throne. And He desires for His people to do incredible works, no matter if it's in your home, if it's in your community or in your street, if it's in your town, or if it's in your church, or if it's around the world serving people. He wants us to do an incredible work, and He doesn't want us to do it under our own strength. He wants us to do it under His authority and His power and His strength. Amen? Amen. So let's stand together and let's close in a benediction this morning. Let me pray this over you. And now, Lord, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn His face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.